Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you into the studio on tonight. Thank you for taking the time to tune in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. I am so glad that you're joining me on tonight. For those who are listening live in the studio and for those who are listening through the internet, welcome. This is Coach D here, and I am excited about tonight's show. I'm always excited to see what the Lord is going to do, what he has in store. Because how many of you guys know that when you're presenting the word of God, or when you're bringing a message, and you submit yourself unto God, you're asking him to cause you to decrease that he may increase. And oftentimes when I'm bringing a word, yes, I can study. Yes, I study to show myself approved. I study to get scripture. I study. I read books, other people's books, to get information, and then I take all that that knowledge that I gather through the Word of God and maybe through books, and I take all that information, and then I begin to allow the Lord to take bits and pieces of this information to bring about. This information is logos, so I take bits of, allow God to take the bits and pieces of the logos word for him to bring me a rhema word, a revelation of this information that I took in. And so, again, I'm excited about tonight's show. The original title of tonight's show was entitled, Just because it's a trend don't mean it ain't sin. And I do know that that is not proper English. So for those out there, I know it's not proper English, but it's the truth. It's not proper English, but it makes for a good message. So I know it's not proper English, but I believe that what God has for us on tonight, I'm saying us because he always blesses me. The message that I bring is always dealing with me first. He walks me through my life's journey, and I've just been willing to be obedient and be transparent to allow my life journey to play out amongst the listening audience, those who listen in to the MCD Network family of shows, particularly Processing the Pain. I'm so excited for 2018. I just see some mighty, mighty things happening in 2018 for those of you who started some projects in 2015 or 13 or 2010 and you got stagnant in 2017 and you put it on the top shelf and say you'll get around to it. I believe that 2018 is going to be the time that you're going to get around to it. But not only are you going to get around to it, you're going to cause the manifestation of those visions to come alive. You're going to cause those visions to be now. People can see the vision because the vision is now there. It's a manifestation. And so I'm excited about the manifestation of the dreams, visions, and ideas that many of us have had for years, and they just have not come to fruition. 2018 will be that year of fruition. 2018 will be the year that you have to make some decisions in your life, that you're going to either remain stagnant or you're going to begin to live again. Either you're going to flatline or you're going to begin to find the energy and the power to move forward in the things that God has called you in. 2018 is going to be that time where you're really going to have to buckle in and begin to give birth. You've been pregnant for too long. You've been pregnant for too long. And why you're miserable and why some of us are angry or frustrated. We're angry and frustrated because if you know anything about labor, labor pains hurt. And can you imagine being in labor for years? Can you imagine being in labor for years? So you've been pregnant for a long time, and now you've come to a point where you could tell. You feel like you're off sync. You feel like something drastic has to happen. You feel the energy that I can't go no more. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being stagnant. I'm sick and tired of not living out my dreams, visions, and ideas. And that's called the labor pains. You're going through the labor pains now because you've been, the labor pains is the pain that a woman begins to feel when she knows it's time for the birthing of that baby. That's her way of knowing. There are some women, they're the exception to the rule, where they never felt the labor pain and all of a sudden they have the baby. But the majority of us, how we know that it's time to deliver that baby is because it's excruciating pain. It's excruciating pain, and some of us are going through that excruciating pain right now. What What could that consist of? Where you feel maybe isolated, where you may begin to start feeling like you're alone, where you begin to see people that you used to socialize with, you're starting to see those people fall off for no reason, but they're falling off. You're starting to see that the things that you used to like to give your attention to, you no longer want to give your attention to. There's an unrest in your soul. You're starting to feel a little antsy, maybe a little anxious, maybe a little irritated. Everything you see may begin to kind of cause you to feel a certain way. That's labor pains, and it means that it's time to birth. It's time to birth. And so, amen, I don't know who that's for. I know it's for me, but I don't know it's for someone else, that it is time to birth. Take your position. If you need a midwife, then find you a midwife. We could call it a midwife, or we could call it a mentor, whatever you want to call it. But if you feel like you cannot birth this thing on your own, then you need to get you a midwife, a mentor, someone that could coach you through birthing that thing, because the kingdom of God is depending on that birth. The kingdom of God is depending on that birth, and you got to birth it. You can't sit on it any longer. Don't you know that once the water busts and the labor pains start, if that baby is not making its way through the birth canal, we know that by the centimeters. And if you're not getting larger and it's not making its way, pushing through the birth canal, don't you know that that could become death, not just for the baby, but it could become death for the mother as well? A baby that's overdue, that's inside the mother, and that's not coming down the birth canal, that could cause serious injury or fatality to the baby and to the mother. That's why they'll do an emergency C-section. And so I'm praying that none of you will have to have an emergency C-section. I'm even praying more so that none of you will experience death before you could birth that thing, that you don't experience this stillbirth, that you won't experience stillbirth, but that you will birth that thing, that you will get what you need, the midwife, to coach you through to bring that thing to fruition. 2018, the kingdom needed. It's too much going on. Your baby is needed. Your baby is needed for kingdom business. For kingdom business. Amen. Well, again, I want to welcome everyone that's tuning in on tonight. I'm excited because guess what? I just did 6 minutes of speaking to someone. That was a prophetic word. A prophetic word that went forth has nothing to do with the show on tonight, but has everything to do with what God wanted for someone to hear on tonight about birthing that dream, vision, or idea. Tonight we're going to talk about, I want to talk about sin. And I know that's a touchy subject for everybody. Nobody wants to ever talk about sin. We always want to point out other people's sin, but we don't want to talk about sin. And so I want to talk about sin tonight, but I don't want to talk about sin the way we always talk about sin. I don't want to be super duper spiritual religious tonight. I can't be. Tonight I just want to talk about some things, and I'm hoping that what I speak about tonight will bring a spirit of understanding. I pray that it would bring a spirit of conviction. I bind right now the spirit of condemnation, because the Word of God tells us that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm hoping and believing that everyone that's tuning in on tonight are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. If you are not in Christ Jesus, my prayer is that before by the time the show is over tonight, that you will want to know Him, that you will want an introduction to Jesus, and that you would be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're not going to talk about. I'm not going to tell you what you can't do. I'm not going to tell you what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. But what I want us to, I want to bring something to our attention. And oftentimes we don't think about it. The title, again, I said that the show tonight was titled, Just Because It's a Trend Doesn't Mean It Ain't Sin. Again, not it's not proper English, but again, it's going to make for a great message. As I began to study for this, and I started studying a couple of days ago, but it was funny because when I got that title, because how God deals with me is, I think it's creative. I think I have a spirit of creativity. And that's coming from someone that does not like to hang pictures. And I don't like to do little creative things around the house. But I am, I like writing short stories. I love writing. I love reading, or I used to really love reading. As a kid, I would wake up in the middle of the night and put a flashlight and be reading. But what God does with me is when God has a message that he wants me to get and then deliver, he normally gives me a catchy title. I might be telling my age, and maybe some of you may be able to relate to what I'm getting ready to say. But I remember being a kid. I was only a kid during this time. But back in those days, and that was probably around the early 70s, there used to be a show that came out. I can't remember the name of the show, but I remember one of the celebrity comedians that used to be on the show, and his name was Nipsey Russell. Nipsey Russell had a knack to be able to just shoot out a rhyme, and he would say these catchy phrases. He had rhythm and rhymes, and he would say these catchy phrases, and I remember I was an avid Nipsey Russell. I used to sit in front of the TV and just crack up and laugh, and I was just mesmerized by his rhymes. And I think that became a gift. I don't know if that's from me being a child, you know, at 6 or 7 years old sitting in front of the TV, but I remember him. And so God gives me these catchy cliches or rhymes, and then from that he brings me into a message. So I came up with that, he gave me that cliche, but then as I began to study, I found that there are some books out there. There are some books out there that speak about what I'm getting ready to talk about tonight. And one of the books, I'm going to get you a pen and write this down, because tonight's show was quick. There's no way in 45 minutes to an hour that I could really give you everything that you need. My goal is not just to get up here and talk to you about a bunch of stuff and shoot a bunch of scriptures at you, but my goal is that when you hang up from me, something that I say will trigger in your mind, and it will cause you to go do your own research. It'll cause you to read the scripture for yourself. It'll cause you to study for yourself. And I don't do this often, but I was led today to give you, I'm going to give you two books, two titles of two books that's going to deal with tonight's subject matter. And one of the titles, there's an author, his name is Jerry Bridge, and the title of his book is Respectable Sin, Respectable Sin. And then there's another book that I want to recommend, Dr. Richard Dobbins, and the name of his book is Subtle Sins of Saints. Subtle Sins of Saints. And I'll repeat those again towards the end of the show. So anyway, what we're dealing with is that oftentimes we know the obvious sins of men. Most of us as believers, I would like to think, and I'm going to speak it into the atmosphere, most of us as believers, we really are, we try to stay God conscious. God conscious is the moments in our lives where we are aware, we are alert. We are in the zone. We are in tune with God. We're in tune with the Holy Spirit. And we could, and so we see things and we know. We're not going to, and when we're God conscious, we're not going to go out and commit obvious sin when we're God conscious. Then we got moments when we go unconscious. And when we go unconscious, what rules us as human beings is our flesh. Our flesh, that carnal, the carnality. And so when we go unconscious, then by default, the flesh begins to make decisions. That's the flesh's default. It requires a conscious mind to stay in the spirit. And the word of God tells us to walk in the spirit. Stay conscious so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Unconscious. So if everybody understands that, we're going to continue. So I would like to say that most of us are God-fearing. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We're submitting to a higher authority, and God being that authority. And so we try to remain conscious. Now, it's very hard, and I know it's hard to always be conscious. You know, that's just hard, especially when we're living in this unconscious state, which is called the flesh, carnality. So as I was studying, I'm gonna read off a few of these subtle sins. And the subtle sins are the things that we don't think about. The subtle sins are the things that we almost respect. You know, like his book, Jerry's book said, Respectable Sins. These are the things that no big deal. These are the things that are no big deal, and we see it all the time. And we see it among saints. We see it among us. I'm one of these. You know, you're one of these. I think most of us are one. We deal with this stuff. So I'm going to name off some, but there's only going to be about seven that I'm going to focus on. So some of those subtle things is ungodliness. We could be a believer and say we're Christians and believe in Jesus Christ and still be operating in ungodliness. Discontentment. Ooh, see, nobody would think that being discontent would be a sin, but discontentment. Pride. How many of us walk around with pride? A spirit of arrogance. You know, me, me, me. I do this and I do that and you'll never catch me doing that. And I. Have you guys met people that every time you turn around, it's about them? Everything is always about them? Lack of self-control. Lack of self-control. How many of us deal with lack of self? I know I deal with lack of self-control at times. Especially when I'm driving. How many of us have that driving demon, you know, that always is, you know, always fussing at people on the road because either they're driving too slow, they're driving too fast, or they're just not driving right. Lack of self-control, always want to spew out of our mouths and say something. Anger. Judgmentalism, that's not a word, but judgmentalism, you know, that's constantly judging, constantly pointing the finger. Sins of the tongue. What are sins of the tongue? Could that possibly be profanity? Profanity, spewing out evilness from our mouths. Anxiety, frustration, worry. Whoa, Coach D, you mean to tell me that those are sins? God is not pleased with those? How many of us function in anxiety and frustration and worry? Worry that we're not going to have enough money to pay our bills or worried about our children. Are they going to be okay? Are they going to be successful? Worry. Worried about our spouse. Worried about finding a spouse. Unthankfulness. Just being ungrateful. Being ungrateful, not thinking, you know, just unthankful. Just can't never be pleased. Selfishness. Self-centered, consumed selfishness. Again, it's all about me. Impatient and irritability. Oh, I don't know how many people deal with being impatient and irritability. I know that's a weakness for me to be impatient. I want it now. I'm ready. Let's go. Hurry up. Irritability, and then getting irritable when it doesn't happen in your timing. The weeds of anger, envy, jealousy, and related sins, worldliness. All these things are those subtle sins or what we call respectable sins. Those are the things that surely nobody's going to point out. Nobody's going to point out and say, Coach D is a sinner. She's in sin and she's because she's irritable. Nobody's going to say that. And we see it all the time with men and women of God in the body of Christ. We see this. We see a lot of these spirits and their sin. So I just gave a list of those because I want people to understand what some of that looks like. I want to give you a perception. I don't want to just be speaking respectable sins. I don't want to be speaking about things that we do on a regular basis. That's just a trend. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it in the body. You know, our leaders is doing it, so it must be okay. It couldn't possibly be a sin. And so we'll just start doing things. And we don't even know half the things why we even do them. We just do them. And we think it's okay. We play games. We participate in holidays, certain holidays. We get participate in programs. We participate in a lot of things. We tie ourselves to a lot of, because it's tradition. This is just, we've always done it. And so this is what we do. We have always done it. And nobody never questioned, why do we do this? Why do we do this? There's fraternities. There's fraternities and there's organizations that people get engaged in. And they never, do you ever do the research as a believer? Not as the world, but do we ever do the research to find out what does that really mean? What does that really mean? Someone I seen today had mentioned something about the Freemasons, and I remember doing a research on that before. And I'm not gonna, this show is not about the Freemasons. This show is not about Eastern Stars. So it's not about them, but I'm bringing this up because this is yet another thing that that people engage in or we get involved in and we become a part of. But did we really, as believers, do the research to find out what are we tying ourselves to? What are we marrying? What are we committing ourselves to? Sometimes we bring upon our own curses into our homes, into our children, into our children's children. We bring the curses. Sometimes the generational curses start throughout down the generation, down through the 10th generation, and sometimes we start our generational curses now in our generation, and we pass it down to our kids. What are we allowing in our to be connected to? When we turn on the TVs, and we all watch TV, we all love to go be entertained. I go to the movies. I go to the movies with my family. That's our family outing. We go to the movies. But what is it that we're entertaining? What is it that we're giving our attention to? Do we ever think about? See, spirits are transferable. Now, I know somebody said, ooh, this is getting spooky. Spirits are transferable. Do we ever think that if I go here, into this environment, what am I bringing back home with me? Because you can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't. Your five senses is not going to be able to identify it. But then all of a sudden, a week go by in your home and your home is in chaos and now you wondering why. Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling oppressed? Are you feeling irritable? Whatever that emotion is, and you're starting to feel a certain way or respond a certain way. Some of the things I mentioned, anger, envy, jealousy, impatience. You start feeling certain ways that you haven't been feeling and you're wondering why. Then you have to ask yourself. You have to begin backtrack. What did I do? Where did I open up myself? So now I'm going to go into, and this is just, and I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, but we're going to talk about, I told you we're going to focus on a couple of these things because some of us deal with some of these things. Maybe some of us, you know, may have already identified them, worked through them, and they don't have to deal with them. But for some of us, we're still dealing with some of these things, and sometimes we don't even know why we're dealing with them. I'm going to start with the spirit of envy. The Bible speaks about the spirit of envy in several places. I mean, many places in the Bible. Envy and jealousy is kind of used interchangeably. And so I just want to be able to give you a couple of scriptures. Why am I giving you the scriptures? I'm giving you the scriptures because you cannot fight these spirits just by saying, I identified you. Okay, now I identify you. Now what? Okay, I can be envious, or she's envious, or he's envious. Well, whoever's dealing with envy. So now you've identified it, but what you gonna do with it? How do you get rid of that? You know, what does the word say about it? You know, and so the word of God is telling us to avoid envy. You know, it says 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, I believe. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. How many of us, if you be real with yourself and you be real with others, how many of us deal with that? You know, how many of us really deal with deceit, you know, envy, malice, hypocrisy? I've dealt with hypocrisy. Maybe I didn't deal with it consciously. Maybe I was ignorant about it. But when I look at what hypocrisy means and I do the definition, I have been a hypocrite at times in my life. So we deal with this thing, and First Peter is telling us to put that stuff aside. It's not pleasing to God. He's not pleased with you being envied. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17 tells us, do not let our hearts envy sinners. In other words, don't be jealous of the things in the world. And a lot of times as believers, we could get caught up because we're so busy looking at what the world is doing, what's trendy, that we want to be like the world. We want to be like what's trendy. Oh, you know what? You know, that's not nothing just because they're doing that. And we see a lot of trends going on that's not pleasing to God. I don't even have to go through the list of things that's trendy. Think about it. Think about some of the things in your mind, some things that you believe is trendy, that now is common. It wasn't common before. It wasn't common in our parents' generation. Not that it didn't exist, because there's nothing new up under the sun. Everything we see going on now was going on back in the days of Moses, back in the days of Cain and Abel. Cain was envious that whole thing with Abel and Cain. There was envy there. There was envy. So it's nothing new, but what I'm saying is that what we're seeing now is we're seeing these things with great frequency. We're seeing it's not hidden. It's there. It's out there. It's bold. It's bold. You know, it's bold. We're seeing, you know, so many things, and it's bold. So we want to become conscious, God conscious, stay God conscious, so we could begin to see these things. Jealousy. And I don't know if I read Proverbs, I'm sorry, 23:17, that says, do not let your heart envy sinners. That's where I got off. But live in the fear of the Lord always. So we as believers, we're not supposed to get so caught up in the world that we just like the world. But we really are supposed to be living in the fear of the Lord. We should be fearing the Lord. We should be concerned about what we're doing. Is it pleasing to him? We should be concerned about if he came right now and I'm doing what I'm doing right at this moment, if he were to come, would he be okay with that? Would he be pleased with me? That's a good way to hold yourself accountable is if he came right at that moment, whatever you're doing, if you're questioning what you're doing, ask yourself that question, and it'll always give you a truthful answer. It will always give you a truthful answer. Now we're going to skip over to jealousy. I'm not going to stay long on jealousy because to me jealousy and envy are one and the same. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 3, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Or are you not walking like mere men? If I'm operating as a believer, woo, woman of God, I got a ministry. I'm trying to tell people about Jesus. Oh, Lord, trying to tell people about Jesus. and I'm walking around in envy and jealousy, what make me, and I'm just like the world. What make me any different than the world? The same world that we'll point fingers at because they do what they do, but then we don't want to look at what we do. We don't want to look at what we do, but we'll talk about all the other sins, the obvious sins, the adulterers, the fornicators, the homosexuals, the thieves, the murderers. We'll point all those sins out with no problem. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, look at them. They sinning. Y'all going to hell. But we're not going to talk about the other things. That don't make that okay. I just heard that in my spirit. Somebody said, no, it don't make it okay. It don't make it okay. What it makes it is that we need to get our acts together. What it makes it is that we need to do self-inventory. What it makes it is that this sin that's in me, I need to get my house swept. The sin that's in you, you need to get your house swept. Because then when we don't sweep our own houses, if you know, you heard the saying that when you're living in a glass house, don't throw stones. Well, many of us live in glass house with shattered pieces, fragments. We got fragments of glass all over our floor. Why, Coach? Because we're living in glass houses and we're throwing stones and we got fragments. We got our own stuff that we need to be dealing with. We got our own things that we need to get in order. Amen? Covetousness. Let's move to covetousness. Oftentimes, and I know that this is, you see it in the word constantly, that we're not supposed to covenant. It's part of the commandments. And I always just thought covetousness is just wanting to just, you want what your neighbor have, right? And I found today, and I mean, that does have a part of it, but I found out today as I begin to study scriptures about covenant is that it speaks a lot about money. Woo! And I never associated covetousness with money. I never connected the two. But as I began to study and read, I found that it dealt with rich. You know, for example, 1 Timothy in chapter 6 and 9, it went on to say, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruins and destruction. And I thought, wow, because what you think about, when you look at the world around us, even in the body, people are constantly chasing the dollar. People are constantly chasing the dollar. We'll neglect, you know, our children. We'll neglect our home. We'll neglect our health. We'll neglect a lot chasing money, trying to, you know, get to that, what we call rich, or get to the wealth that we're trying to get to. And so it's telling us that's covetousness, and it's not pleasing to God. And it'll ruin us. It's destruction. Look at the entertainment industry. You know, look at it. Look at what we see now. And things are a lot more, again, like I said, more exposure now than there ever has been. And when you look at the entertainment industry, most people want to be entertained in the entertainment industry. I'm sure they have some passion about it, but I think at the end of the day, people want to be in the entertainment industry because they want to be rich. They want to get rich. You know, they want to be successful, and their success to them is being rich and being able to have everything they want to have and do what they want to do and go where they want to go. And we are even learning now as we read, whether it be social media or the news or things we see with our own eyes, that there are entertainers that are selling themselves to the devil and going through demonic rituals so that they could become successful. No, Coach D, this is not something that I made up. This is something that's real. And we're hearing testimonies of people that there are some people that made it out of it, that they made it out of that, you know, and they've been able to tell the story. They've been able to tell their testimony. And it's common practice in Hollywood. It's common practice in that industry that people are doing this, all for the love of money, all for the love of riches and fame and riches. And so we know that's not pleasing to God. And we know that there you could get into something like that and never make it back. Proverbs 28:22 tells us a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth. A man with an evil eye is chasing after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. Does not know. And so, again, he's telling us again, it's evil. We hear about the root of money is the root to evil, to all evil. Well, why is that? Because it comes with a spirit of greed. It comes with a spirit of covetousness. And some of us may be operating in that spirit unknowingly. Again, tonight's show is not a show of condemnation. Tonight's show is a show to make us say, let me check my inventory. Let me see what's going on inside of me so that I can stop focusing on the big sins of other people and start looking at some of the little sins because sin is sin, but what we call the more respectable sin, the more acceptable sin. And we need to look at those things because at the end of the day, all of it is sin. And all is sin is separation. Sin will cause us to be separated from God. And even when we think we're not separated from God, if we're in sin, we're separated from God because he's a holy God and he can't partake. And we can't be so consumed and so covered in these sins that we're not, that we can't hear God, that we can't be connected to God. I don't know about you all, and I don't know, but I know for me, I've experienced the presence of God in my life. And because I've experienced the presence of God and I've been intimate with God, I don't want to lose that presence. I don't want to not be able to ever experience the presence of God in my life. I don't want to ever feel like he's not there. So I don't want to be a sin. So I want to constantly do an inventory. I want to constantly sweep. I want to constantly look and see what's in me. And every time I think I got rid of one thing that God has showed me, then I think, oh, I got it. I'm cool now. I'm perfect. All is well. And then the next thing I know, he showed me something else. So I think it's constant progression. It's a work in progress. We're constantly working on being our best self, constantly working on being more like Jesus. That's who we're emulating, and we're constantly working on that. And so I think as long as we're in this body, there's gonna always be us constantly working on it. But we're not supposed to ever get comfortable. We're not supposed to ever be comfortable, and we cannot keep saying when we get comfortable in our mess. God knows my heart, or, you can't judge me. Stop. We can't do that. We should not never get comfortable, because when we get comfortable like with that, it's no gray. There's a song I love by Jonathan McReynolds, and it's called No Gray. It's either or. It's not no midpoint where we can just get comfortable in sin. So we got to work on those things. Each one of us got different areas of that we deal with. Paul said, he said it best, I do these things I don't want to do, and, then I do them, and then I don't want to do them, and it goes on and on and on. But all of us got those things that we got to work through, and you should never become, I'm not going to ever get comfortable with a lack of self-control. I don't never want to be comfortable being angry at somebody because they drive and slow. I want to be convicted. Lord, convict me and help me to be true to my convictions so that when that spirit come up upon me, I could shut it down. I could become God conscious and shut it down and pray and ask for deliverance and ask God to help me through whatever this challenge is that we go through. Ask them to help you. Meditate on the scriptures that could help you. Amen. Gossip. Woo! This is a good one. Gossip. How many of us gossip? You know, I believe that most of these spirits, like I said, are transferable. I think some of these spirits, and most of them probably, I'm not going to say some of them, but they come from generation to generation to generation, and it just keeps going down. And guess what? If that was the thing that you seen, then that was the thing that you did. And oftentimes, the unconscious mind, you never really seen that there was anything wrong with it. I seen it as a little girl. I seen a lot of gossip. I seen a lot of backbiting going on, and I seen even in my own self, especially early years, I seen that that spirit, it was a familiar spirit. I knew it. Didn't know then that it was no good. Didn't know then that it was a sin. Didn't know then that God wasn't pleased with it. 'Cause then I didn't even know God. I mean, I knew there was a God, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. But that passed down. So it was easy to be sitting at the family table and talking about somebody else or something that they were going through in the family. And you sit at this family table and y'all talking about it, and then you go to the next family table at somewhere else's house and you're talking about it, and now it just becomes gossip. And you don't know, and you ain't paying attention that it's gossip. Y'all just having something to talk about, talking about what somebody else is going through. Well, guess what? When you're talking about what somebody else is going through, good, bad, or indifferent, it's gossip. It's gossip. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no unwholesome words proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as it is good for edification according to the need of the moment. So that it will give grace to those who hear." So what I'm saying to you is, even if somebody said, "Well, I didn't say nothing bad. I didn't say nothing bad about such and such. I just said they going through. Or I just listened. I didn't say nothing. I just listened." Still gossip. And God still is not pleased. Because his word's telling us the only words that should come out is for edification. So if somebody's gossiping and you listening, then nobody's edifying. So if somebody's gossiping and you say, "Well, you know what? Well, guess what? We're not going to even talk about that. Let's pray. Let's pray for sister such and such." That's edification. Or matter of fact, go to sister such and such and pray with sister such and such. That's edification. But if you're sitting up listening to gossip, whether you say something or not, it's still gossip, and you're still just as guilty as the person that's speaking. I know nobody don't want to hear that one. That's a really tough one. That's a common one that we see often, that we may participate in, because we hear it, we say it. Lord, help us not to be gossipers, Lord. Help us not to say things that's not edifying. That's a hard one. We do it. And it's ugly, and God is not pleased. Proverbs chapter 11 and 13, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." So it doesn't matter if the facts that are being brought to the table are truth or not truth. It doesn't matter. What matters is that if it's a secret, I mean, if you're revealing a secret, then you are a talebearer, a gossiper. But it says, "He who's trustworthy conceals a matter." It didn't say conceals the truth. It didn't say conceal a lie. It said conceal the matter. So it doesn't matter what the matter is about, whether it's truth or whether it's false. It said the person who just be quiet about it, the person who doesn't go and about to gossip about it, to speak about it to others, is the one who's trustworthy. But the other person who goes and tells secrets is the one who is the gossiper. Again, that was gossip. And we got two more. We're getting down toward the end of the show, and I want to take a moment and ask if anyone that's listening in on tonight's call, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will bring you in. But we've got two more to go that we want to deal with on tonight. I hope that's what's being said on tonight's been a blessing to those who are listening in. Not that, like I said, that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We just wanted tonight's show was inventory. We're doing an inventory. We're doing some house cleaning. We want to sweep out some things, some dust, some dusty things in our lives, and we want to understand why we're feeling certain ways, and maybe why we're going through certain things. Maybe we just have too much access inventory. We got too much clutter. Too much clutter. You know how we get clutter in our house, and every corner of your house you look at, you got clutter. Well, that could happen in your temple, that you just get a bunch of clutter. And when you get a bunch of clutter, it's hard to think. It's hard to see. It's hard to see straight. It's hard to be God conscious when you got a lot of clutter, because when you got a lot of clutter, you got too much stuff going on in your mind. You can't even stop and think, what is God saying to me? You can't hear him. You can't move forward because it's too much clutter. And you have to begin to get rid of some of the clutter so you can hear God, so you can see what your next move is. God may have told you to move. You know, God may have told you to take a step or make a move a year ago, but because you have so much clutter, you couldn't even hear what God was saying. You couldn't even hear, you couldn't even take instructions. Because clutter, if you got enough clutter, it'll obstruct your view. You won't even be able to see clear because it's too much clutter. You can't even see Habakkuk 2:2. You can't see the vision that's written down. So I'm saying that we sometimes have to get rid of our clutter. So I would like to think tonight's show is being something that's helping us to remove our clutter. You know, clutter will cause stuff to die. Because if you got clutter, how many of us got stuff all around our house and we've been looking for a pair of earrings or a pair of socks or a particular pair of shoes? We've been looking for weeks. We can't find it because we got too much stuff. Well, just think about the dreams, visions, and ideas that God has given you. And just think, well, you got a bunch of clutter, then those are just dreams, visions, and ideas. But if you got clutter, you're unorganized, you don't know where they're at, you're not nurturing them. You're not watering them. You're not giving them the nutrients that they need to grow. They're just stagnant. They're there. So we're getting rid of the clutter tonight, because also, as you know, with Joshua, when God sent them into the promised land and he told them to go in there and kill everything and burn everything and don't bring anything back, and you guys know the story, and they came back to the camp, and all of a sudden he realized that he wasn't having the favor with God that he was having before, and when he finally went before God, and I'm summarizing, I'm paraphrasing, he finally went and said, hey, what's going on? And God said, there's sin in the camp. And he had to go around and find out, and so finally I think the guys came clean. They had stole some of the treasures from what they were supposed to burn and not bring nothing back with them. They brought it back and buried it up under their tent, and it caused the wrath of God to come down upon them. Well, guess what? Same thing with our temple. When there's sin in the camp, it could cause all kind of dysfunction. Sin in the camp could cause mental distress, emotional distress, physical distress. All these things could take place when there's sin in the camp. Not only that, when there's sin in the camp and you can't even hear God clearly when he's giving you clear instructions on what he told you to do, and you're not doing it, you're in disobedience. Amen? We're going to go over to gluttony. And we're going to make this quick. We got about seven minutes, but we're going to make it quick. I really want to finish the last two, and gluttony is the next one. Now, this is the one that, this is probably the cutest sin of all. I would have to say, you don't hear people talk about it. It's never pointed out. No, nobody walk around and say, look, he in sin, or look, she in sin. And we know that right now in America, obesity is rampant. It's running rampant. Obesity is running rampant in America. And I don't know about y'all, but I could be part of the gluttony. I'm definitely the sin of gluttony. Because you see it in the body, you see men and women of God that's up on the pulpit that's preaching the word of God, and you know gluttony is in effect. Because the thing about gluttony is, see, somebody may not know you're a gossiper because it don't show. They have to hear you to know that you gossip. Or somebody might not know that you covetousness. There's a lot of, you know, somebody may not know that you got a jealousy spirit. That's not easy to see. But it's easy to see somebody that has a spirit of gluttony. But see, we don't talk about that. And the same people that operating in the sin of gluttony is the same people that will be pointing fingers at all the other sins. And I'm saying, are you operating, or am I operating, or we operate in a spirit of gluttony? It's called self-hate. When we're not taking care, and it's scripture after scripture after scripture in the Bible that will still lead back to gluttony, because the Bible tells us about taking care of the temple. This is the temple of God. When we become children of God, our bodies become his temple. And gluttony is one of the things that would definitely destroy the temple. It would cause sickness and disease. It would cause death. That's a sin that will kill you real quick. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 20, it says, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Unconscious. That's what I heard in this. I heard when it says they become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Two things. When you drunk, you drowsy. When you drunk, you unconscious. It didn't say you can't drink wine. And during the biblical days, wine was probably like Kool-Aid. It was a common drink. It didn't say you can't drink wine. It said don't get drunk. How many of us get drunk? How many of us drink wine still? How many of us drink one glass too many or two glasses too many and get drunk? Drunk ain't always got to be where you stumbling around passing out. Drunk could be when you're drunk. You done had too much to drink. And it's saying that you go, because why? Because you go into an unconscious state. What does that mean, Coach D? When you feel a real, real buzz and good, you're you go to an unconscious state. No, you may not be passing out. No, you may not be, you know, it may not be obvious, but what it's saying is that you're allowing yourself, you're opening up yourself to other spirits that could now influence you to make decisions that you wouldn't make when you're God conscious. When you're unconscious and you're in a drunken stupor or drunkenness. Let me not say stupor, because people want to say, as long as I ain't passing out. But when you're in a drunkenness, you're opening up yourself. You're opening up your gaze to be exposed to spirits that will influence you to make decisions that you would not ordinarily make when you are vertically aligned. Same thing with food. When we get full, and when we're not eating the right foods, what's the first thing that your body does when you've had some really good food? So I'm a foodie. But you know, when you've had some really good food and you get full, what's the first thing your body want to do? Go unconscious. You get that sleepy. And that ain't, for the record, that's not just a black man's disease. That's any human's disease. But if you don't eat quality food and healthy food, your body works super duper hard to digest that and try to work that through your body. And that's what causes the body to begin to shut down, because it's working extremely hard to get rid of all that grease, all that fat, all the other things, that's all that sugar. It's is working hard to get rid of that stuff. And so it puts you in an unconscious state. Colossians chapter 3 and 5 tells us, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Don't you know that it says all these things that, you know, lust, I mean, passion, impurity, all that stuff is idolatry. Food, yes, can be idolatry. And I've been guilty of being being idolatry because I like trying different foods. I like trying different cuisines and different things. And that became my entertainment, even as a believer. And I think that's what it is that we see in the body, is that when you know, a lot of times in the body and when people give their lives to Christ, there are certain things in the world that they stop doing. You know, they stop really doing the club thing and the hanging out party thing. There's a lot of things that they stop doing, and rightfully so. And I think we begin to replace it with other things that we see as more wholesome. So going out to lunch, going out to brunch, going out to dinner, going for breakfast, those are things we see as good fellowship. You know, I could go get with my girlfriends, I could get with a few friends, and we could go eat, and we could fellowship together. It's fun, it's harmless, and we could still stay connected to God, and that's not a sin, and it isn't a sin. But the thing is that when it becomes gluttony, when it becomes a point that you find in yourself all the time, you know, you're eating and you're eating and you're eating, now you're starting to see it in your body because now you're gaining weight. Now you're overweight. Now you have health issues. Now you got all this other kind of stuff, because the reality of it is that we have learned to use food as entertainment. We're living to eat. We're living to eat. We're living for the weekend. We're living for lunchtime at work. People, lunchtime, they're running over to the fast food places. We're living to eat. And the reality of it is that that was never God's intent. We're only supposed to eat to live. We're only supposed to be eating just enough to survive, to keep our bodies going. Amen. So I'm going to get off the gluttony thing. We all know we got that issue, most of us. So I'm going to go to the last point that I want to make on tonight. And the last point that I would like to make on tonight is gluttony. Is lust. We're going to talk about lust, and I'm going to close this thing out. Lust. We all know what lust is. We know it's there. That's probably one of the most familiar things. It's probably a lot more obvious than the other ones I mentioned. You know, lust could be anything. We could lust after anything. Most of the time, lust is connected to sex. And so we know that lust is a sin. It's, you know, it's not a whole lot I got to say about lust. It's a sin, but it's one of those things that is not, you know, that oftentimes you don't hear a whole lot of focus on, because we know that we have people in the body that you know, we hear about things. And I'm not trying to badmouth the body. That's not my point here. But I want to say that these are things that's going on. They're obvious in the body of Christ. Lust is obvious. We hear about situations where pastor got somebody else pregnant and he was married, or we talk about the sister such and such who's single and all of a sudden now she's pregnant, and we talk about one of the things, a big joke in the body is that men go to church because they only go to church because they're trying to find a girlfriend or trying to find a wife or they're trying to find this. So I'm saying there's a lot of things that tie back into the spirit of lust, and we know that is not God. We know one of the things I wanted to mention was Matthew chapter 5 and 28, because I'm bringing that up because men are God, women too. And I see it. I'm a single Christian woman. And there's different Christian groups and different things that people are, you know, coming up with to try to give Christians a place that they could go and socialize on social media and stuff. And I've been in some of those groups, and some of the things I see, and I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm just saying it's not, I know God's not pleased. I know God's not pleased. And so, people are sending people to hell and sending them to damnation because they're talking about all the other sins. But yet it says that if whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart, in her heart. So it's not just about your actions or what you do. It's what you think, your thought life, your thought life. So if you're walking around looking at a man's half-naked body and you thinking and you drooling, you already sinned. Vice versa with men. It's the same thing. So it's our thought life. It's the unconscious thought life that'll put us in situations and you ain't even did nothing. And you thinking that you didn't do nothing. And you got used to thinking that I ain't did nothing. You got people that's living celibate lives. Been celibate for 5, 10 years. They live celibate lives. But what's their thought life like? So we got to control our thought life. Where are we thinking? What are we thinking? Because the Word of God is telling us, whatever you're thinking, it's already done in your mind. That's the present. That's the now. My mentor teaches about now. Now is there. It's in your mind. After you did the act, it's in the past. So you're already doing it in your mind, and we want to control our thoughts. And the way we control our thoughts is through trying to stay God conscious. Staying God conscious is, knowing, studying, knowing the Word of God, the Word, worship, prayer, praise, the Word, worship, prayer, praise. Those are the ways. It's not easy, but those are the ways that we could begin to keep our minds stayed on Christ. Praying. You can pray without ceasing. People say, I don't understand how you can pray without ceasing. Because praying ain't always a prostrate position. You don't have to be in a prostrate position to be in communication with God. You could be in communication with God all through the day. Everything you're doing, you can have your mind stayed on Him. Amen? 1 John 2 and 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. I'm going to repeat that, and then I'm going to close it out. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I thank God that He's faithful. I thank God that He loves me, and I don't know about you. You have your thank God, but my thank God is that He loves me so much that He is willing to disappoint my carnality in order that my spirituality does not have to experience death. I get disappointed sometimes because I have some dreams, as a woman, that's not covered. I have dreams of being covered one day. I'm in a different place, a different mindset. I feel like I've grown. I feel like I've been through some things in life that's caused me to prepare me, and that has prepared me for my husband. Whenever that husband comes, when God sends him, I am prepared for that husband. And so there are times where, there are times where you may feel like, okay, I think the person's near, I think this may be the person, whatever that thing is, and then all of a sudden, quickly, you find out that that's not it, and you become disappointed. And it just reminded me that God loves me so much that He's willing to allow my carnality to be disappointed. I didn't get what I thought I might want. And I'm so glad that in this season of my life, for the last, 15 years, but for a while now, I am so glad that He's not giving me things that I think I want. I am so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that I'm willing to submit to what it is that God has for me. And I don't know what that is, but I trust God that He knows what that is, what He has for me, the plans that He has for me according to Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm excited about it. Father, I just want to thank You for tonight. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for wisdom. I thank You, Father God, that You love us so much, so much, that you're willing to allow our carnality to be disappointed so that our spirituality will not experience death. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you said nothing could separate us from your love, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And Father God, I thank you that you're willing to show us those ugly areas in our lives, that you're willing to stick with us in spite of us, that you love us in spite of us. And we just thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your word, which is your mind, Father. We thank you for that word right now. We thank you for revelation, Father God. We thank you that we're still on the journey, that we're still running the race, that we haven't given up, Father God, that we haven't laid down, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you continue to push us to move forward, that we are not hopeless, but that we have a hope in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for everything that you're doing. We thank you that you're going to be sending midwives to those, Father God, who are ready to deliver for kingdom's sake, Father God. For kingdom's sake, we thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen and hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight and hanging in there. I pray that something was said on tonight that really spoke to your spirit, that you would begin to get your spiritual brush and begin to sweep out those corners of cobwebs that may be operating in your home, in your temple. Again, we thank you for your continued support and tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Look at me, Woman to Woman, to Processing the Pain every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and then also Woman to Woman on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. For those of you that may have been tuning in on Monday nights for the King's Table is temporarily will not be planned until further notice. It's temporary. Out of order until further notice. But again, we thank you for your continued support, and we are looking forward to 2018 being a new year with new beginnings and great things. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated.